What up, guys? Welcome back to Flip the Cash. I'm your host, Nate Liss. You can find me on Twitter at An Outraged Jew. And with me, of course, is Mr. Ethan Motz. You can find him on Twitter at Ethan Motz. Ethan, what a set of games we saw last weekend. Shook things up. A lot of people getting blamed, from OCs to head coaches to quarterbacks to wide receivers, in fact, shockingly. Wide receivers getting blamed for not getting targeted. It's their fault now. And I know a bunch of those names are going to come up in here. As a guy who's heavily, heavily into the card market, did you just see value start just jumping off the screen?
Oh, Nate, it was euphoric. I was like a kid in a candy shop, a fat kid too at that. Not the little skinny guys. So excited. I've been buying. I can't help myself. The deals, the drops in value, just they're stupid. They don't make sense. And this is an awesome time to capitalize on it. And I'm ready to roll, baby.
I love it, man. So this one was titled Playoff Edition Wild Card Weekend. So we're going over some of the guys that recently played and were bounced or possibly still in the playoffs at this point. And we're going to start right at the top with players that you're right now calling buys. And you went with full names here, Rain Dakota Prescott.
Oh, yeah, I love the full names. We'll get to some more fun ones in a minute here. But I'm definitely buying Dak, and I'll lay out a couple of reasons. I know the playoff game was a little ugly, but Kellen Moore, see you later. I hope McCarthy's gone soon, too. That was just one of the worst deployments of personnel and play calling we've seen in a long time. But, there's always next year, right? So I want to look at Dak's numbers a little bit. And I think his year has kind of been overshadowed by some of the other guys in the league at quarterback position. But if you look at his 2021, he came back from a really nasty ankle injury. I mean, if you watched that thing last year in real time, vomit inducing. And that definitely, I think, factored into some of this year as well. It definitely limited his mobility from a rushing perspective in a full season, right? So 16 games that he played this year in 2021, he only had 146 rushing yards. Prior to that, in 2019, he had 277. The year before that, 305, 357 the year before in 2017. In his rookie season, 2016, he had 282. So clearly, I think it definitely factored in, even from a psychological perspective. Maybe he didn't trust it enough, right? It's a weird part of your body, right? Like the ankle is highly, highly important for these guys, especially mobile athletic quarterbacks, receivers, running backs that need to cut on. So I don't know if he fully trusted it. So I think that definitely factors in. But if you look at his completion percentage, highest of his career, 68.8% completion percentage. That's encouraging. He also had the same number of pass attempts that he did in 2019, exactly the same, 596. So passing yards took a little dip from the previous year. But again, all kinds of factors you can run in there. I still think he's only 28 years old. I think he's still got another 8 to 10 elite years. If they start really building this franchise properly with some pieces, small pieces, his ceiling is very, very high, right? And the fact that he's a Cowboy also insulates his value and just any Cowboy players in general, because they're, I don't know why they got the moniker of America's team. I don't agree with it. It's kind of silly. Why are they America's team? I don't know. But anyway,
you're gonna do a monologue right now?
Maybe. I kind of want to, but we'll save that for later. I'm definitely buying Dak. Like, let's look at his numbers here for some of the cards that I think could be good buys, even from a commodity card standpoint. So if you look at his 2016 Silver Prism PSA 10, his rookie year, in November, so not a long time ago, that thing was selling for about $1,250 on average. Right now, they're right around a little under half, right? So if you're giving me a card that normally can sell in that same $1,200 range, and I can buy it for $550, I'm going to do that. That value is astronomical that you'll get. And at some point, whether it's around the draft, right, when there's the buzz, excitement that happens, you can sell. There's a sell window there. The beginning of the season, the hype, preseason, right? Another fantastic sell opportunity. So all you have to do is rinse and repeat, and you have to invest in guys that are good. And Dak Prescott is definitively good.
There's no doubt about it. I think one thing, too, that came out of this last game, I'm looking at profootballreference.com, and one really cool thing that they do, similar to what you'll find on playerprofiler.com, which is obviously your and I, favorite go-to site, Roto Underworld owned, great website. One cool thing, though, that you get here is you can get advanced passing metrics for all these players. And you look at Dak Prescott and you look at his playoff performance from last weekend, and his bad throw percentage was 34.1%. And that was nearly 10% higher than the worst game that he had all year. So, I mean, he saw, you know, 10 blitzes, 3 hurries, 6 hits, 14 pressures, which was the most or second most that he had seen on the year. So it was a rough game all in all. And a lot of guys are taking the blame for this, you know, rightfully so. Seemed semi unprepared for this game, as they were considered the team that should have won this game, right? But you're totally right. Dak Prescott is somebody that fantasy gamers love. He's not necessarily the most like outgoing, personable guy in the league. All things considered, playing in Dallas, it is a bit shocking. He is sort of the Kawhi Leonard of Texas. You know, he's keeping that whole thing together over there. But I love Dak Prescott. I'm with you. I think with quarterbacks, especially when fan bases and fantasy analysts and social media start to turn their backs on these guys, we see this dip take place, and inevitably draft picks, hype, FOMO, it builds up, right? And suddenly you, as you're saying, the guy that's holding these assets, if you want to flip them when the time comes, there's no question there will be a buyer in the market. And with that being said, that 34%, you know, bad throw percentage equated to maybe a reason that we didn't see more of CeeDee Lamb than we should have. And because of that, CeeDee Lamb was getting a lot of blame along with the OC and everybody else. But you say CeeDee Lamb is a buy, right?
I do. Sadarian DeLeon Lamb, baby. 100% a buy. And I'll explain why. The guy is 22 years old. He's had fantastic back-to-back seasons, right? He's uber young. He's one of the youngest receivers, top receivers in the NFL right now. He objectively improved in every statistical category from year one to year two. And this is in an offense where he didn't even have but a 20% roughly target share with guys like Amari Cooper. Dalton Schultz got a ton of looks. Dalton Schultz is not explosive. He's not very, you know, dynamic in any capacity. So Gallup's there. You have to consider him. He might be gone right next year. Who knows what happens? So there were a ton of people in this offense, right? I know Mr. Kelly does not like this, you know, particular phrase, but there were a lot of targets going around to a lot of different mouths. So you have to factor that in. And when we look at 2022 and we fast forward, Amari Cooper might be gone. We don't know, right? He doesn't have much of a cap hit after this year. Gallup could be gone, right? He's a free agent. You know, Schultz, another free agent. I don't know if they have the cap to keep him there. And CeeDee is one of the best up-and-coming receivers in the NFL, right? Again, he's on the Cowboys. He's America's team, right? There's no better player right now, I think, from a receiver standpoint to invest in due to the age, due to his just ability to create even yards after the catch. He's dynamic at the catch point. So he is one of the most versatile receivers in the NFL. And it's not his fault that Kellen Moore is a dinosaur, he's a dingus, whatever you want to call him, and not scheming him properly, not playing him out of the slot, not moving him around in different formations. And I'll give you his numbers, for example, on cards, just so you can see the kind of value you're getting here with CeeDee. So at the beginning of December, so roughly a month ago, right, that first week in December, his PSA 10 Prism base cards here, were selling for around $275 a pop. They're now roughly $60. It's almost 20%, right, of that. That's insane. So to have almost an 80% dip in these prices, again, at the beginning of this season, CeeDee's prices soared, skyrocketed because of the hype, right, the FOMO. The Cowboys were looking good. CeeDee was obviously impressing in camp. That obviously factors in. There's no way I'm not investing in CeeDee. Even at the higher end, mid-tier, doesn't matter. There's really no way you can lose right now, especially with the draft coming up not too long from now. Obviously, camp's not too far down the road in 4 or 5 months. I mean, again, rinse and repeat. CeeDee Lamb is elite.
There's no question. I just spilled my guts on YouTube and made a CeeDee Lamb video. For those of you that want to check it out, youtube.com/NateList. It's 28 minutes. I totally agree with you. CeeDee Lamb is an exceptional prospect, a guy that from age 21 has put up over 1,000 scrimmage yards per season. We're so dismissive about early age production in the NFL. It's like, he didn't do enough, or he did too much, or he didn't garner targets. And a lot of people will tell you that targets are earned, right? That's the quote, targets are earned. Troy Aikman came out with a quote, as I'm sure you read. He basically said that CeeDee Lamb was getting single coverage all game. We know CeeDee Lamb is our guy. And he essentially said, without saying it, do what Joe Burrow did and just keep throwing it to Ja'Marr Chase. Like, beat them until they prove that they can stop CeeDee Lamb. Keep throwing him the ball. Don't try to scheme Cedric Wilson and other players into the game. Just do what makes sense and throw the ball to your best players. But of course, what this turns into is, oh, CeeDee Lamb's not that good. He's not a tier one wide receiver. He doesn't earn targets and all this baloney when he was, top 15 in yards after the catch, averaged 3.4 per target, which is pretty damn good if you go compare him to most players in the league. And there is a significant ceiling for him. I mentioned it on that, but I'll mention it here too. DeAndre Hopkins very well could be the ceiling that we see from CeeDee Lamb. They look like very similar players. And yes, this season he saw 120 targets. Next year, if Schultz is gone, if Gallup is gone, who knows if Cooper gets traded, if Dallas is trailing in more games and has to throw the ball more, will you be surprised if CeeDee Lamb is staring down the barrel of 165 targets?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's 180, 200 targets. I mean, think about it. He's so young already and commanding 120 targets in this absolutely loaded offense. And again, you said Cedric Wilson, so many, even Blake Jarwin was getting targets in that offense. I don't understand. If you want to sell high because you get something ridiculous at the moment, say in your fantasy leagues and dynasty, if you're selling so high that you can't say no, I'm not going to stop you, right? Do that for sure. And maybe take advantage of perception down the road. But with these cards for CeeDee, I mean, the guy's going to be elite, again, all these pieces could be gone next year. And what's to stop him? He's only getting better every single year. I don't understand this whole, idea that everybody has to be putting up elite numbers every single day, every single game, otherwise they're bad. That's just nonsense. That's the way you really lose a lot of bets, and I'm not going to be in that boat. I never want to be a part of it. And I'm going to take the improvements from year to year.
Look, I mean, we could go down the list, but Ja'Marr Chase on the season, who is revered as probably the best receiver in the game already, had about six games outside the top 25. He had some games outside the top 30, some games outside the top 50, some games outside the top 70. So nobody's infallible, even the best players in the league. That's part of fantasy football. Rarely do you get a guy that just murders every game, every week. You usually get variants. Look at Julio Jones. That guy has had so much variance. How many of us have died at the hands of Julio Jones in the playoffs? You started him, and he got you like 4 points.
Yeah, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. But if I'm going to have any sword out, it's going to be the biggest, baddest sword of all time. And I'll take those few L's. It doesn't matter.
That's right. I want a sword so big and heavy that I can't even swing it, but it looks cool. All right.
Yeah. I'll take it.
God, you keep going with these long names. I didn't know that this was his middle name. This got punched in after the show sheet was done. Kyler Cole Murray.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that middle name. I mean, Rain Dakota, love it. Darren DeLeon, my favorite. But yeah, Kyler, I mean, he's on this list for very obvious reasons, right? I know he had a rough outing in his first NFL playoff game. Okay, but let's pause and be rational for 1 minute. Kyler's been phenomenal since he entered the league, right? There was so much hype this year, MVP conversations happening. The dude is a certified baller, right? The Cardinals jumped out to a 10-0 start. Then football is a very small sample size sport. There are a lot of things that can happen on any given week. There's a lot of volatility week to week, even within the season, right? And after that week 10, win that they had, things changed for the Cardinals. They had some injuries, the offensive line, defensive injuries, a couple of the running backs, Chase Edmonds, James Conner, dinged up. So they weren't fully at 100% as a team. DeAndre Hopkins hasn't played in a while. I know he's obviously a monumental piece of that offense. So all of a sudden, that offense has been depleted to the point where Kyler Murray had to improvise a lot. He had to just create magic where seemingly there wasn't a lot. You got a washed up AJ Green. Christian Kirk is a great receiver. He's very good, but he's not elite, right? He's not going to be a game-breaking wide receiver. So the situation for the Cardinals was not great. They got punked by the Rams, but this is the beautiful part about something like this. just because they got punked, just because Kyler had a bad game, doesn't mean Kyler is a bad buy in any capacity. If somebody's giving him to me at a discount, whether it's in Dynasty, whether it's his cards, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be scooping up every bit of Kyler that I can, because we know his ceiling. We've seen it, right? It's materialized. There's no question there. Now, same thing. You want to invest in elite guys, and Kyler Murray is truly elite. And let's look at his card prices, for example. And these numbers are just, when I told you it was euphoric to look at some of these things, I think this might be the most euphoric out of any of this list or anything just in general I've seen in a long time. So 2019 base prism PSA 10, not his silver, but his base. In October, those were selling for roughly $1,100. They are selling at about 10% of what they used to be selling. They're around $190.
That's so low.
That's insane. That's so low. I get it. It's a commodity card, but okay. Pick any card for Kyler and you see massive thousands of dollars drops. I can't say no. I'm going to be buying so much Kyler. It's not even funny. And I wasn't buying any Kyler before. Now I am.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Kyler. I've purchased some Kyler. I've flipped some Kyler, ones that, thanks to Jesse, I did very well on. And one thing that's for certain with Kyler Murray, he is one of the rare quarterbacks in the league that can sort of, when I think about it in like a basketball term, like a guy that can create on his own, Kyler Murray can sort of create his own buzz. In any given week, he can go from being a guy that's like, oh yeah, he played okay, to, oh my God, did you see what Kyler Murray did last night? Man, he has to be in the MVP conversation. He has to be, he's so good. And he strings together, you know, these crazy exceptional weeks. He opened up the season last year as the QB1 in back-to-back weeks, week one, week two, and of course, everybody lost their minds. And he continued to play dominant, right? And so for that reason, Kyler Murray annually will become this guy that we've talked about. That's a rinse and repeat option. He's got a ton of upside. He lost DeAndre Hopkins in a game where he really needed him. That probably affected him as well. But I'm not concerned about Kyler. And if you want to buy him on the cheap, as you're mentioning now, or at a discount, he will assuredly rise in price like he does every single year.
Just do it. Just do it. You'll thank us later.
Okay, so let's get to the opposite group here. Those were the buys. These are the sells. These are the guys that you should move on from. And you're starting, I got these middle names, really. Tony Randall Pollard.
Tony Randall Pollard. Look, I will say this, right? I love Tony Pollard. Fantastic skill set. He's explosive. He's dynamic. I wish the Cowboys would play Pollard a whole lot more. But they don't. It's a sticky, ugly, nasty situation that they found themselves in because, you know, Jerry Jones is, Jerry Jones. We'll just leave it at that. So he decided to shell out a ton of money for Zeke, who is obviously a shell of his former self. And they're stuck. They're not moving off of Zeke for the next couple of years at the bare minimum, unless they want to take monstrous dead cap hits, $11 million a year. They're not going to do that. So it's a pretty ugly situation from a backfield perspective. The Cowboys are going to continue to run Zeke no matter what, even if he's slow, he looks like he's running in quicksand with 13 pianos on his back. This is an expensive backfield to begin with, just from a salary cap perspective. The highest paid backfield in the NFL. Tony Pollard is going to be a free agent after next year, which is great. But unless any kind of injury happens to Zeke this year, right, 2022, we're not going to really see that upside materialize anywhere. So it's a long time to be sitting on some cards. And I think you can obviously buy back in on. And Pollard is the type of guy that is getting hype everywhere, whether it's in the dynasty community, right? Cards, they're starting to kind of see the writing on the wall for Zeke from a production perspective. He looks slow. So people are starting to project and speculate. Okay, this is Tony Pollard's backfield. He's going to take it over eventually. Maybe. Maybe not. He's going to have to be so unbelievably elite in terms of production and be a true difference maker at the position. And the odds are not in his favor there. The hype is just growing, right? It's going to be kind of that slow burn type of hype that he's getting. And more people are going to jump on the bandwagon, right? And I get it. I understand the allure behind Tony Pollard being a buy because you think, oh, Zeke's gone. He's going to take a back seat. I would pump the brakes there. I don't think so.
I'm with you. I like Tony Pollard. It's hard to say with the money that's owed to Ezekiel Elliott. He's not going anywhere, at least not next year. And they're going to absolutely get their money's worth out of Ezekiel Elliott. It's like when you buy a really, really expensive steak. Like, if you've ever had like a $80 steak or a $100 steak and you're like, oh my God, I'm full. But there's like three bites left. You're like, I'm going to eat those three bites of that goddamn steak because I'm not going to waste it. And Jerry Jones knows that he got played by Ezekiel Elliott when he was kicking it in Cabo or wherever the hell he was, when Jerry's like, oh, come back. I'll pay you whatever you want. Here's the stupidest contract in NFL history. And they paid it to him. And now he's stuck with him. Now, admittedly, Pollard's great. But how great is he really? Because even this year, after getting immense opportunity, 130 rush attempts on top of 46 targets, so 150.2 in terms of weighted opportunities, he was the RB28. I mean, that's nothing to write home about. It's not special for me. It's not going to make you a legend in the locker room. You don't pull down your shorts and show them the RB28. Nobody's going to go, wow. They're going to go, ah, yeah, about the same. About the same.
Better. Yeah,
that looked like me. About the same. So it's ridiculous.
Is that a mirror?
Yeah, what is going on in here? So anyways, Tony Pollard, as much as I like him, and there's a lot of upside there and a lot of allure, this is a guy that's going to be 25. He's still stuck in Dallas temporarily. Probably doesn't get out till he's 26. By then, he's going to want a decent-sized contract, probably in the range of what a guy like Melvin Gordon was seeing this year. He's probably going to want to get paid $8, $9 million a year. He probably deserves it. So I don't know where he goes, and his next situation might not be as juicy as Dallas is. Now, I did not know this guy's middle name was Cornelius. I'm actually shocked by that.
You're welcome.
I don't know if I like him more or less now. Odell Cornelius Beckham Jr. Wow.
I wonder if Odell Beckham Sr. also has a middle name of Cornelius. That's a good thing to research. We'll get into that in a minute. But Odell Cornelius Beckham Jr., in my opinion, is a sell. He's back, right? Everybody's hyped. He's been phenomenal. He's rid himself of the terrible quarterback play that has come from Baker Mayfield and the run-first offense of the Browns. We're not really there. Let's pump the brakes here. And I know deception. It looks can be deceiving here. So let's not fall for the deception here in terms of what our eyes are showing us or allowing us to see. So I'll give you numbers here. So this year with Cleveland, do you know how many yards per target Odell Beckham Jr. was getting as opposed to his yards per target here in LA?
I want to say it was nearly the same.
Actually, he had more yards per target in Cleveland at 6.82 weeks 1 through 8. And then weeks 10 through 18, he had 6.35 with the Rams. Okay. His target share also dipped from 17.8% with the Browns to 17% with LA Rams. Now, yards per game, 41 with Cleveland, 38.1 with LA. Now, here's the kicker, right? And because recency bias, vividness bias, all these things factor into how prices fluctuate, whether it's in terms of cost of acquiring in dynasty and just redraft cards, it doesn't matter. Here's the big kicker, Nate. Do you know how many touchdowns Odell Beckham Jr. had in Cleveland weeks 1 through 8?
I don't know. Even though I have the power of the internet in front of me, I'm going to say I don't know.
You don't even need to look because it was zero. Okay.
Beautiful.
You could have told me none.
Wow.
And you would have been correct. In these last 9 weeks with LA, you know how many he has? This one, it's not zero. I can tell you that.
Okay. I want to say, and again, I don't have it in front of me, but I believe it's 5.
You are correct. That's very prescient of you. So that is really the big difference between Odell's numbers between Cleveland and LA. He's not the Odell of, a former time where he was just putting up 35, 33 fantasy points per game. Ridiculous numbers, right? That's not Odell. He's 28. He's going to be 29 soon. He's not even going to be the number two, I don't think, next year. Maybe he is at age 29. Fantastic. But again, it took so long for us to get here to a point where you could sell for a profit with any kind of Odell, shares in Dynasty and cards, doesn't matter what it is. And I think now is an awesome time, given this hype around the Rams Super Bowl contending options, like maybe they win it. Maybe that's great. Awesome. But I'm not going to sit there and hold the bag on a card for Odell that might crater in price because, again, he's 29. He just hasn't had that consistency over the years, a lot of lower body injuries. So if I have any kind of ability to sell at a profit, I'm doing it. And I'm selling the touchdowns here because touchdowns aren't sticky. And I'm taking these profits and run.
You're goddamn right about the touchdowns. We talk about that on this show all the time. Touchdowns are just not that sticky at the position. Odell is the opposite of other players that we've talked about on this episode. He has the persona. He has the hype. He has that one catch. He's now in LA. A lot of reason to like him from a personality, celebrity, you know, out in the mix standpoint. But you're right. It could all end in a second. I love him on this team, but he's a player that I don't really want to hold on to either. In fantasy, he's an inexpensive player that has a ton of upside in this offense. He's got the athleticism and he could continue to produce. But in terms of value of his cards, his trajectory of like all-time great player fell off years ago, right? Like that's the problem. If he had sustained that New York City production all the way through Cleveland till now, there would be a reason to be really excited about Odell. But Odell, after New York, just went to the Browns, which was a shitty situation.
Yeah.
And here we are on the other side. He's with the Rams, and he's getting this resurgence. But I'm with you, man. I love Odell, but I would be concerned about holding him in the long term or spending anything significant on him at all. So if you do have Odell, you're absolutely right. This is the greatest time to sell him right now, right?
100%. Now's the time to do it. Don't wait another week. He might get injured, right? There's always that chance. Obviously, we don't wish injuries on anybody, but he's had a lot of injuries, right? So you're rolling the dice over and over and over. It's just not a good gamble. It's not a good bet to make. Odds are usually not in your favor in that kind of scenario where you've got a track record of injury history, volatility in production, situation finally improved, and you have a small window. You better take that window. Don't hold out too much longer. If I'm profiting here, I'm not going to wait to get that little marginal bit on top, that little cherry. I don't want the cherry. Give me all the dessert that I can get, and you can keep the cherry. I'm gone. See ya. I'll take it and run.
Look, if Tony Pollard's pants come off and he shows people the RB28, what do you think is going to happen when Odell's come off and he shows them the wide receiver 55? We'll see you guys next week on Flip the Cash.